It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Welcome back out to Bullseye on the Afternoon on location. Spotlight on Sheffield. We are at Quaker Steak and Lube and having a blast out here. Andy Bullbarge joined alongside Matt Douglas. And, boy, I had a lot of fun at your expense when you were reading the newscast. I was looking at the menu, looking at the special menu. Once again, doing a double take at that Cocoa Puff Shake.
Yeah, you like
God,
it.
That
I'm
looks
telling
awesome.
You, man. People don't realize. You've got that. It gets closer and closer to you, I think, as you're going on. You may end up eating this paper if you don't get a shake before the end of the show.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you this. Some days are good days. Some days are great days. And our next guest is having a great day, isn't she? Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by the fine folks at Vandermark Jewelers. Jim Vandermark is actually going to be here.
That's right.
A little bit later on today. Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We're doing great, but not as great as you, apparently.
Today's a fantastic day. Today's one of those days where I'm like, wow, I can't believe I was paid for today. Today's a great day.
Tell us why today has been so great.
Today is Fat Tuesday, so that means every year the Chronicle Telegram drives around Lorain County and we hand out Poonskis from Kajowski's to, you know, people who listen to us on Facebook, people who watch us on Facebook, people who read the Chronicle Telegram, people who follow us. We just want to show appreciation for all of our people out there who support us, and we kind of give them free pastries.
And then after that, you were able to go get some gumbo, and now you're here at Quaker Steak.
That's right. The Elks made a wonderful New Orleans kind of spread. There was gumbo and dirty rice and jambalaya, and now I'm here at Quaker Steak. So it's been a really good day.
Yes, that sounds like a wonderful day. Where do we sign up for a day like that? That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, we got to do it last year. Unfortunately, this year it just didn't work out.
We missed you guys, you know, in the limo. So we were, you know, we missed you guys, but we had a good time.
Well, I'll tell you what, last year you deserve a lot of the credit, if not all of the credit. See, Bruce Bishop's kind of like the voice of that whole thing, but you were the navigator because you had your phone out, reaching out to people, trying to find out where should we go next. So you were like the GPS of that operation.
That was very stressful last year. So this year we tried to pre-map out some destinations. So we were all able to stop at Auto Details in Elyria, that's on Broad Street near Nick Abraham's. We were able to stop at the Spotted Dog Salon that's in Avon on Colorado.
I saw that. Who was the gentleman who had his hair done while he was there?
That will be Scott. He's the husband of one of our employees,
okay.
And he's always down to help us out every single year, and we love Scott.
Yeah, very good sport. I'll give him that.
Yes.
I don't know that I would have sat there and done that, but it looked very nice on him, I thought.
It sounds like you guys had a blast. We're sorry we missed that. That was so fun last year. We had a blast. And, you know, we're also trying to be careful. But when Poochkies are, like, right in your face, you can't say no to Poochkies. And I feel like you guys had, like, tons of those last year. And then we got challenged to do, like, a Poochkie face-off.
See, that's
the
reason why we missed you guys. We did not have the Poochkie eating contest this year.
And we did it in front of those poor kids. Like, we got done, and I mean, I feel like I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I had, like, powder all over my face. It was nuts. It was good stuff. That was a lot of fun. So we're hoping to do that next year. Well, we'll get into a few other topics. We wanted to hit on that Poochkie pilgrimage first and foremost because I know that's always a good time. But you wrote something earlier this week talking about how there are certain areas around 57 that Mayor Holly Brenda would like to clean up a little bit. And I guess cleanup's not the right word. She wants to light them up a little bit.
Absolutely. She has estimated there's about a third of lights are out on State Route 57. There's about 330 lights. So we're talking about 100 different lights are out along the thoroughfare. You know, these are from lights that people have knocked down in traffic accident, or the light bulbs themselves have just, you know, burned out over the years because those lights have been up for about 9 years. And so now City Council on February the 20th will examine if they should change out all of the lights for more efficient LED lights. This is a project that will cost about $200,000. And so City Council is going to talk about whether or not this is a good use of Issue 6 funds to change those lights on Route 57.
What's the belief at this time? Because I feel I never noticed it. We've talked about this before with you. And the moment you told me about it, I started watching for them on the side. And darned if there aren't lights down, it seems, every time you drive up and down 57. I mean, has anyone taken a look at that standpoint? What's the feeling? Do they think it'll be cheaper than that? You said about $200,000.
Well, they think it will be cheaper. They think that the return on the investment in about 5 to 7 years, those lights will pay off if they change these from LEDs, because LEDs need to be changed less frequently, and they will be brighter lights. You know, they're better for the environment because, you know, they burn less energy. And so that's what the hope is, that, you know, they have to go up there less to change the lights. The issue with the lights on, say, Route 57 is they're owned and operated by the city. These are not Ohio Edison lights. Most street lights, you know, Ohio Edison has to come in and change them when they burn out. But these are the responsibility of the city because of the way that the project was done about 10 years ago.
And you said it'll be another week or two before they go through and they evaluate these lights to determine which ones need to be replaced?
Yes. City Council started this conversation several weeks ago, and at that time, they wanted the city engineer to look at removing some of the lights, if he could remove every other light. He doesn't know if that's feasible, so he's been taking some time to kind of look and see if that's even possible. He doesn't have an answer for them right now, so we're hoping on February 20 to get some more information.
We're talking with Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram at our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. We're coming at you live today from Quaker Steak and Lube out here in Sheffield, and our spotlight on Sheffield. Well, we also have a brand new superintendent at North Ridgeville. You wrote a nice little piece on Roxanne Ramsey Casario. Did I say her last name right? Casario?
I believe you did say her last name right. She's a wonderful woman. She comes from Lakewood. She's assistant superintendent there. So she's happy to come to North Ridgeville. She's really excited about all of the things that Northridge was doing with their STEAM program and getting their kids caught up in that science, technology, engineering, and math, bringing that into the curriculum. So she'll start on August the 1st.
Oh, so she's going to finish off this academic year in Lakewood, and then she's going to start fresh during the next school year?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's always fun. We talk to people from North Ridgeville all the time. David Pritt is commonly on, the director of curriculum, with us to talk about the new academic center. So it sounds like in North Ridgeville, there are just so many tools at her disposal.
Absolutely. I was in the new academic center on Saturday. That was the day the board voted to hire her. It is a beautiful facility. You know, it's just a top-notch center for the kids and the students in the county.
Yeah, and we get the opportunity to call games in there. That's where the high school plays their basketball games now. What amazes me is how open it is. I mean, the moment you walk in there, it's just a big empty, not empty space, but I mean, there's plenty of room for people to communicate and get together and do what they need to do, which I believe is the purpose of why they made it the way
they
did.
Yeah, kind of collaborative education, the way that's the reason why the school was built in that fashion.
Very cool. Very cool stuff. Well, you also wrote a piece I wanted to hit on about the Elyria Robotics Program and how it has certainly grown. It's interesting to look at robotics now and how these teams have gone on to these different competitions and done so many great things, because we always refer back to our days in school. Never once were robotics ever brought up when I was in school. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I ever once had the opportunity to take a robotics class, but now these things are huge.
No, they are growing, and Elyria's program is a new program. The high school program started last year, and they're just introducing it in the middle school level this year. And it's the VEX robotics program. They take, you know, all of the parts and pieces of a robot, and the children have to, you know, design this robot, program this robot, build this robot, and now they get to compete against each other. And so Saturday they had the competition at the high school, and it was great to see all the middle school teams get together and compete against other middle school teams in the county and also in the region to see who's the best.
Now, you said it starts at middle school with this whole program?
This is the first year Elyria started in the middle school. Seventh graders get to start the robotics program. It's an after-school club, and they meet several times a week, and it feeds into the high school program.
Huh, interesting. Is your son involved in the robotics program yet?
Not yet. It's for seventh graders, but he went with me on Saturday, and he was absolutely excited about it.
Okay. I always remember our one interaction with your son when he was pushing the newspapers at the Lorain County Fair.
Heck of a job.
He did a wonderful job. He's got a future ahead of him, without question. All right. Well, this is a blast to have you here, as always. You're going to stick around and get something to eat, right?
Yes, I will get something to eat. Try this new menu. I see there's a country fried steak on here and chicken and waffles, so I'm going to see if I can find something to eat.
All right. Good stuff. Well, normally we wrap up by asking you what you have coming up this week. We're going to ditch that, though, because you're having such a great day. I don't want you to think about what you have to worry about work-wise later, so we'll let you enjoy the atmosphere here. And, Lisa, it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat with Lisa. It's brought to you by Jim Vandermark and Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry. Speaking of Jim Vandermark, he's going to be here on our spotlight on Sheffield at Quaker Steak and Lube a little bit later on today. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon, out on location on our spotlight on Sheffield at Quaker Steak and Lube on AM 930 WEOL.